We began looking at Europe in the 18th century when Europe was still overwhelmingly an agrarian society. Over the largest social class in every country, the peasantry, living in various degrees of servitude. Where cities had certainly developed over the course of centuries, but tended to be small islands surrounded by a sea of agrarian production and a peasant population. Industrialization, the Industrial Revolution with its corresponding implications of urbanization, and then, as we will see, the secularization of society would change all of that. And one of the central social problems, social developments with which Europeans would grapple, was the nature of industrialization, the transformation of the cities from small towns into increasingly large urban centers. But the changes described above have implications well beyond the realm of high politics and economics. It may be that the most salient characteristic of modern life is perpetual change in all areas of human relations. During the course of the 19th and 20th centuries, the awareness of change, relentless and ceaseless, found prominent expression in the arts and in Western philosophy. Indeed, much of European and Western philosophy during this modern period is essentially devoted to defining or redefining absolutes, or are there any, in an age of perpetual change. It is one of the assumptions of modern life that everything changes, that the way things have been done in the past, tradition, ritual, and so on, that these things are up for negotiation, that they're constructions that are bound to change. This was an attitude that was remarkably different from life under the old established order, and Europeans, indeed, the rest of us, have been struggling with this, with the problematics of change and relentless change ever since. It is the process and nature of historical change in the modern era, from the levels of high politics to everyday life, that we will be examining in this course. Now, our purpose here is to provide a broad foundation of historical knowledge on which to build. Not a survey, a superficial survey, a sort of grand narrative leaping from peak to peak without getting our hands dirty. Instead, it's not intended as a catalog of facts, of names, dates, places. We'll be certainly looking at those. Those are the building blocks on which one builds, one constructs arguments. But rather, these lectures are seen as an exercise in historical interpretation, where evidence is marshaled to give meaning to human events. To accomplish this, we will focus on themes, problems, and issues that have occupied center stage in Western civilization in the 19th and 20th centuries. I've already alluded to one of the most important and one of the first we'll address, the implications of Enlightenment thought, its challenge to the traditional European world. One of the problems with intellectual as well as economic history developments is that they don't have nice, easy dates. There's not a nice way to periodize them. One can focus certainly on the publication of this treatise, this book, this speech, and so on. And yet often the impact of those ideas, those works, come maybe 10 years later, 15 years later than when they appeared. So trying to deal with intellectual issues, intellectual trends in a nice, tidy, chronological way is often quite difficult. And also, intellectual developments don't always, even in periods such as the period of the Enlightenment in the 18th century, often referred to as the Age of Reason, that may be the central philosophical thrust of a period, but by no means the only one. For example, in the late 17th century, the scientific revolution, which in many ways gave birth to the intellectual emphasis on reason, on scientific method, observation, and so on, the scientific revolution of the 17th century corresponds with the great witch-burning craze in Europe and in the New World. So when one talks about the age of reason or the age of the scientific revolution, there are countervailing trends involved here that one has to keep in mind. Nonetheless, we will certainly have to focus on the nature of the Enlightenment and the implications of its thought, of Enlightenment thought.